Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Because that's our music, Judith. Do you recognise it?
Of course I do. You sound very bright-eyed and bushy-tailed
well,
today.
Really. I'm
a bit scared.
I'm faking it like fucking mad. It's episode 182. 182 episodes.
That's a lot of us droning on, isn't it?
Is it time that we change the music, is it? anyway, listen, I want to kick off today's episode 182. Very good value. We're fucking good value.
Aren't
if you think about how many episodes we've done for no pounds.
I know.
I don't know how you divide that up, actually, because you can't. anyway,
we're
welcome
cheap.
To the show.
Yes.
We're very, very cheap, so don't expect too much. I want to start the show by discussing the importance of a decent sofa. Okay, Judith.
Right.
Talk to me about your sofas, sofas in your life.
Sofas in my life, they are very important. You've got to have two. I don't like being anywhere where there aren't two because I don't like sitting on a sofa next to somebody. I have to be prone. I have to be prone. If I'm not prone at 9:30 in the evening, I'm quite bad tempered. Do you know what I mean? I don't like sharing them. I don't like big ones. They are tricky, aren't they?
Yeah, we haven't got two in the same room because, I mean, it's open plan our downstairs. So we've got one on one side of the room and one on the other side of the room. The one you end up on normally is the one that we keep for dirty eaters, kids and animals. it's the cream.
Very sensible.
The small cream leather one. That's the one.
The wipe down one. I noticed
that. The wipe down one, yes. And then there's the green one. Which we got secondhand from some friends of ours. Yes, we
did.
Very
nice.
Well, it was when we first built this house, right, we had a photo shoot in. We didn't have any furniture that fitted. So Jeff borrowed this sofa from some friends of ours and it fitted so well, he offered them a deal on it and they said yes.
Wow.
And that's the corner sofa. It's from B&B Italia.
I like that one.
It's more expensive than a car, but we did get it secondhand. And I'm still rather precious. All these years on, it's about 20 years old. I still don't like people sitting on it.
Well, I have lain on it with you because it's a sort of L shape, isn't it? It's a kind of a double sofa that meets at the feet.
Sofa.
Yeah, corner sofa, exactly. And we have, I'd like to think that we have created, written quite a few very good things on those sofas.
Yes, because there's room for us both to be prone.
It's perfect.
At an angle.
I notice you always get the bit that looks out to the garden. Thinking about it, I notice you always get that bit. I get the shit bit with my head.
There's no shit bit on that sofa, Gigi Felder. Don't you dare. Every bit of that sofa is precious.
It's very nice. It's very velvet too, which
it's
I like.
Not velvet.
I like velvet.
It's not velvet.
Isn't it?
No,
what is it then?
It's an apple green linen. I don't know whose sofa you've been sitting on. Have you been drinking? You can't recognise one sofa for another.
I know that you're very nervous. I've noticed you with my pen. Do you know what I mean?
Gosh,
I've noticed you. I've got my pen out sometimes and I can see you watching. And she's not going to put that pen on the sofa, is she? You police me.
Yeah.
I know you do, actually. Now you've mentioned it, you fucking police me, you
absolutely,
little
I do.
Tinker.
Now, just describe your sofa so the people know.
I've got two very lovely ones in Cornwall. I prefer the ones in Cornwall. They're teal.
Yeah,
you know,
they're a dark teal, yes.
Yeah, and they're velvet, and I adore them. I go there, and I just love them, and they're nice and deep. They weren't expensive, but they're very nice. The ones we've got
Where
here,
are they from, Judith?
Maid and M&S.
Well,
yeah, very good value.
Right, well, yes, but Maid has gone into liquidation, and
so
there
I gather.
Is
That's
the
annoying.
Rub. Now, I've discussed sofas and Phoebe's quest for a sofa.
It's a bit of a saga, isn't it?
It is. Turned into beyond saga, and it has had... a sticky end. Let's just say it's had a sticky end again. So, just in a nutshell, Phoebe bought two small sofas, both sofa beds. Against my better judgment, there's no such thing as a cheap, comfortable sofa bed. Do you know
what
you're
right there.
But I'm not saying anything.
Well,
okay.
You know,
so
yeah,
she bought these two sofas, and Maid went into liquidation. I mean, she immediately thought, well, I've lost all my money. But fortunately, and this might be useful for people because she paid by PayPal. she got her money back.
Oh, you mean otherwise she might actually have not got the sofas and not got her money back? Bloody hell.
Precisely.
That's a lot of money, isn't it?
So we go on the quest for another sofa.
Hence IKEA. Yes.
Hence IKEA, hence our fabulous day, which I raved about. I praised IKEA to the hilt last week. And right now I need to add a massive fucking caveat. Okay, prepare for a rant.
Oh dear. And
we see a sofa that is perfect for Phoebe's house. Right, it's not too big, not too small, not too puffy, not too tall. Oh, you know, it's just right. It's a dark grey, which is fine for a baby. And, you know, so it's cheap enough that in 10 years' time, it will have to be replaced. OK, we understand that. It's about 500, 600 quid, something like 550, OK?
Yeah.
Right, it is reasonable. So then she actually orders it online because we went for a day's viewing and then, you know, there was some discussion and then it was bought online. And then comes the problems, the problem start. IKEA doesn't deliver sofas. It doesn't deliver sofas, no.
What do you mean deliver sofas?
Doesn't deliver sofas. Wait, doesn't deliver.
What?
That's how they keep the cost down. They don't deliver sofas. They don't have a delivery team anymore for sofas, apparently. Maybe some IKEAs up and down the country do, but the one in Croydon doesn't. You can buy the sofa, but they cannot deliver it. What they can do is they can deliver it to a depot in Woolwich, right? Probably on some industrial estate. And then what you have to do, as the purchaser of said sofa, you have to arrange a man and a van who is given an hour before the delivery slot, the pickup slot, a code so that a locker can be opened.
This is already spelling a disaster.
Well, do you know what I mean? Do you know what I mean? So there's a four-hour pickup slot and the code is sent an hour before the pickup slot opens. The code never arrives. It never arrives. The van and man says, I'm not going there without this code because it's a waste of my time.
Oh, yeah.
And the locker just shuts. It automatically shuts after 4 hours.
Jesus.
I know, I know. They have admitted, it's a company called Shift, they have admitted that their driver forgot to activate the code. The sofa is now on its way back to IKEA. Sometime in the not-too-distant future, hopefully Phoebe will get her money back. And then the whole fucking process starts again.
God.
Yeah,
God.
I know.
You're quite scary when you get into that mode, by the way. You know, that last bit that you just did then. I started to tremble a bit. Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad because there's quite a lot of spit on my keyboard now because I was clenched teeth and spitting.
That is infuriating and ridiculous.
Infuriating.
You kind of know. You know, when she started talking about release codes and hour slots, you just think, too many variables.
There's a bit
here.
Of you that was probably tempted to go to Snorlaw, but you knew I was too angry. I think we need to sort of flag this up. And also, what annoys me is this casual thing of, you just have to get a man in a van. It's so difficult to get a man and van and so expensive to get a man and a van. And if this man and van hadn't done previous work for Jeff on his shows, he would have charged Phoebe a day for time wasting.
Yeah.
Because why shouldn't he? He's a freelancer.
Yes.
It's a job.
God almighty. This is terrible. What? I mean, God, at the risk of sounding like a really crusty, musty old person, like what is the country coming to? That is awful. You can't buy a sofa and not have any way of delivering it. That's just ridiculous.
It just seemed to me that if you're selling a sofa, can you take responsibility for delivering the sofa? We don't mind paying for the delivery. Do not mind. Understand that that is an extra thing. But you can't get a sofa in the back of a Mini. You can't even get one in Jeff's car.
You can't strap it on the top of anybody's car, however big it is, actually.
Honestly, and Judith, why don't you get a van? You should have a van and then it could be really helpful.
Oh, thank you.
Because I could call you up because you'd get there in time. You'd handle the codes and I'd say, Judith, you need to pick something up.
I'd be quite efficient.
You'd be really good.
I know. And I'd have sandwiches.
A clipboard and everything.
I know, I would. Do you know, as you're explaining that, I can picture myself, actually, funnily enough, could get another dog, could come with me all day, couldn't it?
Yeah.
Have some Tupperware, some nice snacks. I could stop off and get some mini cheddars when I fancied it. Yeah,
I've got a delivery man that regularly comes to me, has a sweet little dog, and he opens the door to get my parcels out, and a big, big whiff of dope comes pouring out of his cabin. He has an absolutely blissful life. Anyway, you've been out, lady, haven't you? You've been out.
Oh, I had a busy week last week. I was worried about it. Yeah, out three nights on a trot, which was very, very distressing for me. Yes, it really was. I was really worried when I was going to eat and how I was going to get to places. And yeah, I mean, yeah,
I had two on the trot, Judith. I had two on the trot.
Well,
and
the
prospect of a third would have had me whimpering.
Exactly, exactly.
Yeah. So I'm full of admiration. And you were driving to places as well. So night you went to Stroud.
I went to Stroud. I'd never been to Stroud, and
it's
a revelation.
My friend Beautiful Frances comes from Stroud.
Oh, does she? It's gorgeous. It's very, it's like sort of Glastonbury in the Cotswolds. Lovely shops, lots of independent shops. And I walked past a lovely place with lots of ladies knitting, you know, with a glass of wine in a shop that had been converted to a sort of workshop. Oh,
it's like an HQ for our audience, isn't it?
Well, it is.
The end of the world really comes, let's all move to Stroud.
I think we
should. And just huddle on down together.
Yeah, so I went to see the Scummy Mummies, who were very, very funny. But it was a long way. And of course, it's dark, isn't it? It's dark on the way there, and it was dark on the way back.
Did you have to do the motorway, Judith?
Well, you see, I've got a bit like Ellen now, because, you know, if you it's no good saying to Ellen, like, which way are you going? You need to go through Cassington or this. I'll just put the sat-nav in, Mum. I'll just put the sat-nav in, OK? I'll just use the sat-nav. So it's a bit like that. And I came out of Stroud a different way to the way I went in. And I thought, oh, do you know, I'm a bit scared now. It's foggy and it was quite late. I know, so I put it in the sat-nav. Sent me over this. I fuck knows where I was. I mean, I've got no idea. So, you know, losing the cat's eyes and trying to eat a bit of hummus and get it all over me. So it was a bit stressful. But anyway, we did eventually come out, not at the motorway, but a road I recognised. You know that feeling when you just think, I don't know where I am.
Can I just say though now, hummus, what? Not a good driving snack. Silly
You know,
snack.
Needs must.
I just don't think that's a very good idea. So so that was a trip out, Judith. Well done, and well done to the Scummy Mummies.
I did it for being entertaining.
Yes,
they were good.
What else did you do? Because if you had three out on the trot,
I had a college dinner and I went to Soho Theatre. I had quite a cultural week, really. Very good, very good. But very late back. Last train back from Marylebone to Oxford Parkway. Standing room only. Can you get that? Get that. So it was all rather challenging, but you know, did it, done it, got the badge. Shan't be doing that again in another week.
Sense of achievement.
Yes, oh yes, oh yes. I've got plenty of nights in front of the sofa now this week, except for tomorrow. Coming to you, aren't I, tomorrow?
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. We'll have to discuss that later, because there's quite a few, not diary clashes, but I've got to be at Phoebe's at 4 o'clock. We'll discuss this off air.
Oh, now it's all coming out, is it? Okay. No. Let me let myself in. I'm not putting the fucking fish pie on, am I? Am I doing the fish pie?
Well, I'll be back in time for the fish pie. I've just got to check the date on the fish pie, actually. It's right at the back of the fridge and I'm not quite sure how long it's been there. So, okay, so cultural weekend. What else have you been up to?
What else have I been up to? Went to two Christmas tree festivals. I've never been to a Christmas tree festival before.
I don't know what a Christmas tree festival is.
Exactly. Happening everywhere at the moment, Jenny. In the provinces. So what happens is that a church...
Yeah, this is why I don't live there. This is why I don't live there. Okay, so they're celebrating trees. Now, I like that because it's quite pagan and I like
a tree. Celebrating trees. Hang on. No, all the different community groups, I mean, okay, there were some commercial tarmac companies, you know what I mean, who snuck in, but like little play groups and the WY and the kind of fire service, and they'd all decorated a Christmas tree in sort of, you know, the ways that, like the knitters had knitted bells.
Oh, I like this.
Oh, you see?
So it's many trees, not just one tree.
Oh, yes. Many trees. Many, many, many trees all up and down the church with little alleyways and all lit up and everything. So it was a little bit like, I mean, it wasn't like Disney, but a little bit Disney-esque. And I took the twins because I was on duty on my own. And
oh God, on duty on your own with Christmas trees. Were they both in the double buggy?
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, to be honest, if it was just one like Arlo, you'd have picked him up and sort of, you know, taken amongst the Christmas trees. But I had to weave.
What? I don't know. It lasted very long. So you're wheeling the twins around. Did they get it? Did you have to poke them awake?
They did. They loved it. Their little faces lit up. Little went round several times.
They love lights.
I could have had a mince pie. Yes, lots of lovely Christmassy carols. Oh, it was joyous.
I've got a choral concert. celebrating choral. I've got a carol concert on Monday and I need to find a reading and I'm struggling because I don't want anything religious because I don't have any actual faith that I think I can sort of... I don't have any faith.
Okay,
so it's tricky. Because they're either, the non-religious ones are either achingly saccharine, very, very middle class, or I found some stuff that's a bit too left field, like David Sedaris, which makes me laugh, but I think could offend quite a lot of people.
Right, okay.
So I might go with, see what you think about this, The Grinch That Stole Christmas, because it has a nice little moral message at the end.
Yes, I think that's a good choice. That's a very, very good choice. Well done.
I forgot to say that one of the parties I went to last week, I saw Daisy in real life. Yeah,
she's Daisy in pretty. Real life. Is she still exists? She's not virtual at the moment. She's looking pretty. What's she wearing? Yeah.
I think she's wearing something dark. It might have been a bit velvety. Okay. I don't know. I was in something midnight blue with a big raffia necklace around my neck. It was quite dark and nobody could really see how extraordinary my necklace was. And it was the Taskmaster rap party. Yes. So there were some famous people there and all that. I couldn't hear anybody saying anything, Judith. I could not hear anything. Not a word.
It's embarrassing, isn't it? Yeah. This is happening to me now ever such a lot.
It just makes going out such hard work. I don't know whether I should have one of those old-fashioned Victorian horns that people can sort of shout into.
It's not a great look, is it? I mean, it's...
I don't know. I think it
You think it might be stylish? You could start... Maybe Madonna started to use one. Style
it out, yeah.
Well, we need somebody, don't we, I think, to... somebody who's a bit of a sort of older role model. Who could that be? Helen Mirren. Helen Mirren needs to get herself some hearing aids, if she hasn't got some already, or Judi Dench, or as you say, a shoehorn. What do you call them?
Ear horn. Was it called an ear horn?
I don't know. Horrible.
Hearing horn?
Yes.
I don't know, but... I just think that I'm in need. Maybe I'm going to say, actually, Judith, you might have said the words already, hearing aids. I might have to go to one of those places and have my ears checked out. And anyway, there we go. Because my secret filming news is what I was doing earlier this year is now out. It's officially has been announced that I'm doing Taskmaster.
We're excited. We're all properly excited. Love Taskmaster.
And that airs. I've done it all. It's all in the can, as they say in the business. And it comes out in March. And also Pottery Throwdown will be on over Christmas.
Wow.
So those are the two good ones. And then also my greatest TV shame will air this month, which I still can't talk about without feeling a rising tide of hysteria and deep, deep mortification. This is something that could have me on my knees praying to a god that I don't really believe in to something happen to the recording that it cannot go out. That's how
bad. What, you mean a major power cut to the whole country?
Yeah, absolutely. If there could be an outage for...
I'm sure it's not as bad as you're saying,
Judith,
Jenny.
Judith. Honestly.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, really?
Right.
Okay. Now I really want to see it. It's the sort of thing that I'm quite capable of doing. I'm useless but under pressure like that. So listen, I don't think
it
should be ashamed
just
of it.
That. It was just how I dealt with it as well.
Really?
Sorry. Oh, it would be all right if I just made a fool of myself, but I made a fool of myself on top of a fool of myself. It was like, I was awful. Anyway, you went to your cousin's birthday party.
I've had a very, very busy week this week. Yes.
Sounds like
My gay cousin, my lovely cousin, who lives in Brighton, he was 50. And his husband, Mark, who's an events organiser, organises amazing
guaranteed
party.
A good party.
If you're with an events organiser. Yeah. Huge party. I've never seen so many men in one party. I mean, there's lots of people there, about 150 people there. And I walked through the bar at one point. There were no women at all. Not one woman.
Go on, what did you wear and what did you do?
Oh, I wore the thing that my sort of party outfit at the moment, which is rather nice. I feel quite good in it. But you had to wear a badge. So when you got there, you had a badge and you had to put on how many years that you'd known Stephen, you see. So obviously it was his 50th. He's my little kind of cousin, really. So, and I'd known him the longest. So my God, we were the sort of crusty old people at the party. But get this. lots of very good music. So Mike and I did a sort of, you know, one of our jive things that we think we're rather good at. We're all right. Yeah. No few moves. Anyway, we did that. People started to look at us, you know, all stopped. Yeah. Everyone was like, oh, aren't they good? Aren't they good? DJ said, OK, right, what's it going to take to get you up on the stage, you two? You know, what's the number? OK,
it's going to take
right,
nothing to get you up on the stage. That's what it's going to take. Just try fucking stopping them.
So we got on the stage. Everybody clapping along, you know. Oh, somebody made a video of it. You know, I'll put it on the notice board.
Put it on the thing. Put it on the notice board.
I know, bloody hell, it was exhausting. It was a long track. I thought it would never end. Anyway, we did it. And we came down off the stage and people were saying to me, oh, aren't you amazing? You know, somebody said to me, you're good on your feet, aren't you? Not that old.
Absolutely patronising. That sounds great. Put it up on the notice board.
I will.
Well, we've both been out because I did a Sainsbury's award gig in
you
a groovy
did?
Hotel where... a famous person was staying because there were even paparazzi outside.
Oh.
And I'm trying desperately now to think of the person who it is. And he's just done a documentary about him and his dad, and he had a drink problem. I think it's Robert Downey Jr.
Oh,
yes,
even I've heard of him. Very good. Wouldn't recognise
so,
him, but yeah.
You would, vaguely, because
quite,
everyone
quite
would be
short,
pointing,
isn't he?
Pointing
I think
and,
he's short.
And whispering, oh, it's Robert Downey Jr.
What was he doing at the Sainsbury's award gig?
Well, he wasn't there, Judy. He was just staying in the...
Oh, I see.
In the hotel, because the hotel was the Soho, number one Soho or something Soho. Very nice hotel, and it had a little theatre-y bit. Now, this is something that I think more hotels should adopt. It had a sort of, I'd say 150-seater theatre in the basement.
Ooh.
Just properly set up, you know, with a stage and really beautiful orange leather seats and a balcony with more seats upstairs. So you could do a proper awards ceremony without people talking at tables.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
See what you mean.
And it just made life so much easier because
lovely.
Because I did so many of those horrible, horrible corporate events back in the day, and there are hotels. There's still great big lengths of Park Lane which I completely cringe at as when I'm driving past because I've died on my arse to the point where I've had to escape via service lifts and out through the back entry and get a bus home rather than face my disappointed audience. Anyway.
Sainsbury's gig. So have they paid you? Did they pay you in fish pies, or have they paid you in money?
They paid me in Lurpak. That's what I asked for last week. they haven't been paid yet, but they were certainly very generous. And the audience were slightly phased by me. Can I just say that?
Phased? What do you mean? Define phased.
Phased.
What do you mean?
Well, you know when you look out and people are sort of phased by you. They're not quite sure whether they think you're funny or not. Or whether they actually think you're rather appalling.
Oh, that must be so difficult. I'm sure they didn't
I enjoyed
that,
myself.
But it must
there's
be
something
difficult.
There's something about having been in the business so long that I just know that this is all I can do. This is the best I can do. This is, you know.
Yeah, this is who you are.
This is who I am, and I have been invited to do this, and I'm delighted to be doing it, and this is my stuff.
Yeah.
And so there was...
Like it or lump it.
It was a little bit like it or lump it. There was one man. At one point, he had his face in his hands.
Did he?
Yeah. Face in his hands. Nothing you can do about that. Anyway, how have you slept any better this week?
I have slept a bit better, and I don't know whether you remember, but last week I told you that I was going to see a meditation guru. Do you remember?
I wish there were medication gurus. I wish you could just go round, sit cross-legged in a big circle and someone hands round the valley and fucking hell, that'd be brilliant.
You'd pay for that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. Okay, so a meditation lesson.
A meditation guru. I went to see this guy called James Reeves, okay? Mm. I found him online and he's done sort of meditation. He's a kind of meditation guru. He's written books and things. And he looked very nice and he runs this thing called Restful Being, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I went along. And very posh house, works out of the piggery, you know, you get the picture. A lot of bracelets and a furry coat. But I really liked him. And I was expecting to have to sit on the floor or do something dreadful. And I told him a little bit about myself. And he said, well, I'm not going to teach you meditation. I mean, he kind of sussed me out. I think he probably realised that
too much
no
control.
Way.
Yeah, yeah.
There's no way that I will be able to do that and not be thinking, oh, when is it finished? When is it finished? I want to get on. So he did. So he was really good. And he basically said, OK, and I'm saying this because I think this applies a little bit to you, Jenny. Mm-hmm. So he said, OK, I think what you're doing is you've got this well-worn sort of circuit of anxiety and negativity, really, I suppose, catastrophizing. In, you know, imagine yourself in a forest. You've got this clearing that you've made where you go round and round and round thinking, what if that happens? What if that? Oh, what are we going to do? I better try and do that in case that happens. And I need to just get out of that clearing and through the bushes and make a new pathway, which is a bit more sort of, which is more positive, and it'll be hard at first, and I've got to kind of cut down the forest, but basically I've got to make myself a new path. And the way to do that is to really, really specifically think about the positive things in your life, the positive things, the things that are good, the things that make you feel better, the things that are restorative. And, you know, he got me to list them all and think about them all and connect with the emotion of it. See, I was a very attentive pupil, wasn't I?
Yeah, did you take notes?
No, I didn't need to play. No, he said, you don't need to do that. So we talked about that. And then he got me to lie down on this bed. I was a bit nervous because there was nobody else around. But anyway, and put me under these two weighted blankets. And he sort of made a recording, which was bespoke, about the things that, you know, are positive in my life and so on. And then it kind of turned into a sort of, you know, body scan slash mindfulness kind of thing. So I've got this tape and I play it twice a day. And then I have to set an alarm on my phone every hour in the day to think about something positive in my life, which I've been doing. And I think it's really made a difference. I think it's really lifted my mood. And I think I have got a little bit of a track through that new bit of the forest. And the tape is great, you know, because it's I don't have to do it once at night and once in the day. And once in the day, I settle down and have a nice little relax.
Do you have any weighted blankets at home? Because weighted blankets apparently are quite a thing.
Yeah, they are a thing, aren't they? And I've not really, I mean, until then, I hadn't really met one. And they do, yeah, bloody heavy.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
No. I mean, I suppose they would be, wouldn't they? No, but I cozy on down, you know, have a nice little snuggle and a good, you know, and listen to the tape. It's very calming. So actually, and apparently it's yoga nidra that he does.
Okay, okay. Well, maybe when you're doing it at my house tomorrow, I might listen in. I might eavesdrop. Maybe we'll do it on the sofa together.
Well, okay.
All right, you don't fancy that. I can tell
no,
that.
All right, then. No,
I'll leave it to you. I'll leave it to you. You can have your own little moment. Honestly, I bought your heater for because you know we've still got Daisy here. Yes. So you're stuck in Jeff's study.
And okay. Have you changed the sheets?
He says they don't need me. Oh, for God's sake. They don't need it. No, because he had earlier in the autumn, he had a very bad infection, a sinus infection.
I know.
And he was
in there
for 3 weeks. So they have been changed since then. Oh, he hasn't been back in then. So okay. You're on clean sheets. Okay. They might not be great sheets, but they're clean. So, Judith, what we've done, because the underfloor heating is broken in Jeff's study, thanks to a listener who wrote in recommending this particular heater, we have purchased a ceramic cylindrical number from John Lewis, which pumps out the heat without getting hot itself, fully portable with, to quote, listen to this, a neutral organic design that blends in comfortably with a wide range of interiors. Well, if you don't want that in the study, you can just fucking freeze.
I don't know what was wrong with the bloody fan heater, to be honest, but okay, thank you.
These are more, no, these are more economical, apparently.
Oh, I see.
These are the new thing. They're new things you did.
The new thing. All right, then.
And they're attractive.
Oh, that's why you've got it. Is there attractive?
Well, as it says, it's a neutral organic design that blends in comfortably with a wide range of interiors. Who could say better than that? Right, you've got a choice tomorrow. Do you want fish pie or curry?
I want fish pie. Of course, I want fish pie.
Yeah, well, I ordered them. I got the substitute one. It's the Charlie Bingham's one. Is that all right?
Well, as long as there's enough of it. I hope we're not. You haven't just bought one for three of us, have you? You have,
no,
haven't
Jeff
you?
No, Jeff doesn't eat fish pie. He's got a pizza. You know what he's like about fish. He can't eat it. Doesn't like it.
So
we've got a doubler. For the two of us.
Okay.
And then we've got to have an early night because on Friday, Judith, what happens on Friday?
We've got a big day on Friday, haven't we?
Such a big day.
Yeah. We're going to a very, very posh art school called Heatherley's.
Heatherley's.
Which I know about because my friend Claire Lord, who's a professional artist and was a runner-up in Landscape Arts of the Year. She's bloody good. She said that the classes there are absolutely, you know, top-notch, fantastic.
Yeah.
So we're going, aren't we, for a day of
Life you've got pushy. You contacted them and said, you know, would love to come. And they actually, they took the bait, didn't they? And they said, you're most welcome, which is very generous of them. So we've got a full day.
Generous.
We've got a life drawing class, haven't we? It's a life model, I think. I mean, we won't really know what we're doing until we get there. I'm very, very excited. I'm determined not to be competitive, but I have a horrible feeling that between the two of us, it could get a little bit ugly. Now, the other thing that concerns me slightly is that I too know somebody that attends Heatherley's, and it's one of the girls that did Draw Us Off. One of the most talented ones, actually. And she's there at the moment. And she contacted me and said, can't wait to see you. Really looking forward to drawing you. And I had to contact you, Judith, and say, I know. I thought, oh, my God, we're not actually going there to be taught. They think we want to be life models. But that is not the case.
No,
we are going to draw.
No, of course we are. Absolutely.
Are you going to take anything extra? Or are you going to just
I might do. Stuff? I don't know that I'm going to tell you.
Well, I'll see, won't you? Because you're coming to my house and I'll check what you've got.
I'm going to take some pastel crayons that you bought me for my
chalks.
Birthday.
Okay, well, I might take some wax ones then.
Okay.
No point in us both taking the same things, I think.
No.
Or I might take some acrylics. I don't know.
Ooh.
What do you think?
Yeah,
because
why not?
Because I can't actually draw. That's my problem. I use colour as a sort of distraction from the fact that I can't draw.
I think I do too, actually.
They might confiscate our coloured items and just say, have to use a pencil, and then both of us will feel a bit weepy.
We are going to be the worst ones in the class by a long way.
Probably. It doesn't matter.
A long way. But,
doesn't
you
matter.
Know, yeah. No, I'm excited, properly excited.
Yeah, me too. Me too. I really am. I am very excited. Are we ready for Culture Corner?
I think we are ready for Culture Corner. Now, you've had a busy time.
Yes, Judith. We have had some cultural highlights this week. Haven't been to the theatre, but have been to the National Gallery to see the Lucian Freud exhibition.
Ooh,
I forget how brilliant the National is, because the main gallery is free, but the special exhibitions like the Freud are not free, and they're very expensive. I'm just going to warn anybody who thinks, oh, National's free, I can just go and see the Lucian Freud's. It's 26 quid. See, it's expensive.
Gosh, that is right? A lot. Could you get reduction for being an old git?
No, there's no reductions.
Ooh,
and if
lot.
There are, they're £2 or something. I think there might be some reductions, but it's not for us. There's nothing for the over 60s.
Gosh.
And I do find that, for two people, it's like 50 quid.
52, that's a lot of money, isn't it?
Yes,
sometimes
it is.
You don't know how much
membership.
You did what?
I bought a membership for 90 and you immediately get the tickets refunded. We only need to go twice in a year and it's covered.
Oh, that's
But the whole experience was expensive, Judith. Because I had a soup in, they've got a canteen in there called Muriel's Kitchen. Very good. I'm not complaining about the food. The quality of food is wonderful. But my bowl of soup was £8.50.
Oh, that is a lot too. For a cantini sort of thing. That is a lot, isn't it?
For a stand, you have to stand up, you have to queue, you have your own tray. By the time you get to the checkout girl, your soup's stone cold. I mean, it was delicious. It was a pea soup with a swirl of pesto oil.
Oh, very nice. Mm. Nice bit of bread. Do you have a crusty bit of bread with it?
The bread, my piece of bread wasn't very exciting, but I saw somebody else who had a more exciting piece of bread. But I think it was possibly because in the queue I went, what, an individual quiche with two salads, 25 quid? Are you taking the mick?
Gosh.
Crikey.
That is awfully expensive, the whole thing, isn't it? I'm really surprised, actually.
Yes, I mean, it's the sort of thing where you don't think about how much a quiche and two salads would be.
No,
I mean, it was a whole individual quiche, so you could easily have shared it with someone. I mean, I suppose...
Well, I wouldn't have done. I wouldn't have shared my quiche. Well, just
but
put
the thing
that,
is,
just
if you didn't share your quiche and you had two plates of that, that's 50 quid, Judith, for
that
a lunch.
That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. I mean,
plus
that,
the
that
tickets,
actually
that's
is 100 nonsense.
Quid.
Golly, yeah, that is.
Tell you about this very odd conversation I had about the Zoe Health app? Do you have the Zoe Health app?
What is the Zoe Health app? No, I
started
don't.
Started during
is it?
COVID. It's a sort of keeping track on who's been jabbed and all that kind of thing.
Oh.
Anyway, I signed up and you get these emails. And I had a rather odd conversation about the Zoe Health app with I'm not calling her an odd woman, with a woman sitting next to us. Her, do you have the Zoe Health app? Me, yes, her. Have you seen today's report? She shows me the info on her phone. It's about bowel movements and what is considered average, which is from once a day to twice a day to three times a day to once every 3 days. I cheerfully tell this woman that I'm a once or twice a day girl. She is aghast. Aghast.
Do you know this
her.
Woman?
No.
You don't know this
goes,
woman?
She goes, her. She goes, you, and you think that's average? Me, yes. Her. You do mean bowel, not we. Me,
good heavens.
Yes. Her. I only go once every 10 days.
Oh, my God.
Well, that was me, Judith. That's exactly what I said. I said,
oh my God,
I think you need to go and have a chat with your doctor.
Well, yeah.
And it was just quite an odd conversation to have over lunch.
With a perfect stranger. Absolutely.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
Right. Okay.
So there we go. It's like a little mini play. It was very Pinterest,
yes,
wasn't it?
Yes. I get that.
Yeah.
How very strange. Right. Yeah. Okay. Well, poor lady is all I can say.
On to telly now. Culture Corner telly.
By the way,
The Lucian Freud exhibition is brilliant, by the way. You know, it's not just all about the money and stuff. It's a great, great show.
I'd love to see it, actually.
Yeah.
Very good. Right, so what are we on to next? Are we on to TV?
Yes.
On to TV? Right, okay. Now, I tell you what I saw last night, which is The Traitors with Claudia Winkleman fronting it. Have you seen this? I think they did three consecutive days.
Yeah, I saw the first one. I couldn't be arsed with it.
Oh, couldn't you? Oh, I loved it.
I really loved it.
I don't know why.
Claudia.
I know. Oh, well, absolutely. Everything she does is great. No, I thought the casting was really good and I thought the concept was good. I thought the production values were amazing. Oh, I was rather taken along with it.
I'll give it another chance because I saw the very first one, which was a lot of setup, and I got slightly it got bogged down in the setup.
I think it probably
gets a bit more exciting.
It does get exciting. I like it. I think it's clever. Very clever.
Right. Well, then I will give it another chance because... I trust your judgment. Okay, both of us, I think, are giving a big thumbs up this week to Three Salons.
Oh, it's wonderful. Isn't it great?
Oh,
I mean, obviously, shot in the 80s in...
I think it's even the 90s, you know. It's quite old-fashioned for its time. You think it was... Because I looked at it and thought, this must be very early 80s. And it's actually a bit later than you think. And it's set in three northern hairdressing salons. And it's a documentary. One of the original fly-on-the-wall documentaries on BBC iPlayer.
It was so fabulous. It was like being taken back in time, wasn't it? And
totally.
It was really, because there was so much more than hairdressing salons, obviously.
Yeah.
They were basically where women supported each other. And
confessional booths.
Oh, absolutely. And I loved the way that they'd obviously shot a lot of what they were wearing on their feet and the details of the rollers and kind of all those bits and pieces that we'd forgotten about. But, you know, these women, you could see that they'd kind of put their posh shoes on to go to the hairdressers.
Because it was an event. Going to the hairdressers was an event. And they were seeing their friends and they could, you know, women's talk, this sort of safe space for women, this incredible camaraderie. And that, as you pointed out in the notes you sent over, the funeral bag, Judith, tell us all about the funeral bag.
Well, one of them, she'd kept, one of the hairdressers, the woman who ran one of the hairdressers, kept a note of exactly when and how everyone was sort of had died that people came in to talk about. So obviously a lot of them were widows. They all called each other by Mrs., didn't they? Did you notice that? So that she would remember how, when she lost her husband and how it was and everything. And then she fished out this funeral bag, this black clutch bag that all the clients would have if they were going to a funeral, with a handkerchief in it and a bit of money.
And a peppermint,
that's right, and a peppermint. And it was just such a simple thing of way of supporting people during those times. But it was just, I don't know, there was something so heartwarming about it.
It was
fabulous documentary.
Yeah, it's making me cry now. That's how moving it is. It's making me well up now. What I'd forgotten to watch, and we started watching last night, Grand Designs House of the Year. It's always a good standby, and it had gone under the radar this year with me. So I am enjoying that. Also tried to watch the film See How They Run, which was in cinemas about 2 months ago, and I missed it. And I thought I was missing out on something, but I tried watching it, and I thought it was shit.
But it's one
of those films. It's a spoofy Agatha Christie with a bit of Wes Anderson thrown in, and I found it tiresome.
Tiresome's
really
a strong word, Jenny.
I just thought there was some shit acting in it as well. So there you go. Well, some people loved it. So what can you do?
I saw a rather good film on Netflix this week called The Swimmers, which is
Raving about that.
It's very good. It's a true story of two joyous, lovely, exuberant teenagers that siblings, you know, sisters, living in Damascus, but their dad teaches them to be sort of pretty much Olympic swimmers. They end up leaving as refugees to try to get to Europe, and they're put on one of those bloody terrible boats, you know, with that barely to try and get to Greece to freedom. And I won't tell you exactly what happens, but basically their swimming skills kind of save the day, and it is this extraordinary story. It's ever so good.
I've heard lots and lots of good things about that. So that is something I will watch. The Swimmers on Netflix.
Yeah.
Sometimes we say films are on certain things and they tend to be on other platforms, but I think that one we're right
it
about.
It might be on Netflix. Yeah.
Absolutely. You're not swimming at the moment, are you, Judith?
I'm not. And by the way, did you see, I sent you a link to that amazing, such a funny article by Giles Corran, who obviously lives, I think, near the ponds at Hampstead Heath. And sort of a really fantastically funny scathing of cold water swimmers who apparently regularly cause sort of, you know, the ambulance has to be brought to people who have hypothermia cases
Apparently hypothermia cases are now an everyday occurrence. I think people have to really think very carefully about whether they can swim outdoors if they haven't already been in training for
it.
I'm not bloody surprised that people are coming a cropper, but there we go. I mean, obviously, for those who have wetsuits and know how to do it, all well and good. But I think it's become such a fashionable thing that people are thinking, oh, it's going to do me a power of good. And I'll just jump in. It'll do me a power of good.
Hold on a minute. Yes.
Yeah.
No, it's good.
I'm in trouble here. Be careful, everybody. You can't muck about with water. Not unless you're in a bath. Books now.
Go on.
I finished The Hugh Bonneville, and I found it genuinely a very entertaining listen. I think you would enjoy it, Judith.
Yes, I might.
I think it's very soothing. It's highly recommended for Christmas gifting, particularly for Downton fans.
It's got my name written all over that. Very good.
Yeah. What about you, books wise?
Oh, I'm struggling again. I'm sort of inching my way through Away with the Penguins by Hazel Pryor because it's a book club choice, and I don't know how it's just very old-fashioned and rather slow, and it's just not grabbing me at all. I don't know whether I'll get to the end of it, and I think it may be one of those things that somebody has chosen because they loved it years ago. Do you know what I mean? It hasn't really kind of stood the test of time.
Yes,
it feels a bit tired. But
a lot of people have recommended the Barbara Kingsolver Demon Copperhead. So I downloaded that, but I don't like the narration. It's very abrasive.
It's tricky, isn't it?
So it's really not a nighttime listen. I mean, I think that with audiobooks particularly, they do divide into the soothing nighttime listens that you need. You don't need any sudden surprises. You don't need any, you know, tricky accents to follow. You just want a good story, in which case Hugh Bonneville's is great. But I also downloaded Bono's biography, but can't listen at night because he'll talk for a few seconds and then suddenly music blares out, you know, one of his songs. It's kind of like
a cross between
an album and a talking book, and it's useless for nodding off to because So he used this, and then I was 18 years old. Oh, Jesus God, Jeff and I leaping out of our skins. Going to save that one for a long drive. So okay. At the moment we've resorted to an Agatha for a reassuring nighttime story.
You must be running out of Agathas these days.
We're so scraping the bottom of the barrel of the Agathas.
Must be.
Because there are different levels of Agatha, and we are really on the three stars on Amazon. There we go. Anyway, emails, Judith.
Oh, I've had quite a lot of emails, and now you've had one about a mention, haven't you? Go on.
Well, I got an alert from the listeners who emailed in their droves, well, three, to say that I got a mention on a menopause Emmerdale storyline last week, which is absolutely thrilling. Now, I haven't managed to find the episode or watch it.
Oh, you need to watch it, don't you?
Well, I'd like to. Do. Yes, I don't know which day it was, but I'll one day when I get enough time to trawl through all the Emmerdales from last week, I'll find
happen,
it.
It's not going to happen, is it?
No, but thank you very much for letting me know.
It's lovely.
It's
no,
such a
great
claim to fame. I felt good for about 20 minutes.
Well, you know. Now two people emailed us, didn't they, to say that obviously Spotify are sending people notices on their phone to say how many hours you've listened to various podcasts. And two people said, I was quite shocked about this. Jennifer, 52 and 2 months from Sydney, apparently hers said that she'd listened to 7,378 minutes of our podcast this year. That's a lot, isn't it?
It is. And then Helen, 54 and 6 months, said that she got a similar notification. She said that she worked it out that based on a 7-day shift, she spends the equivalent of 16 working days listening to you both. Now, I'm not sure I trust Helen's maths there, but it's a really lovely thought. 16 working days listening to you both. She said, if only my job allowed me to do this, it would be the best job in the world.
Oh,
and then she
so
says
lovely.
Her McDonough, and she save up episodes when they go away so they can have a giggle listening to them in hotel rooms on the Bluetooth speaker. That's so charming. It's lovely. Thank you for that.
Well, we're very flattered.
We
are. A little troubled. Emily, 49, and works in the media, she emailed us to say, she had a good old moan, that's right, about the other podcasts on offer, which obviously delighted us.
Yeah, we can't go into details and we can't tell you which one she mentioned. Both of us were absolutely delighted. And she said, what I love most is your cut through the crap attitude and your jokes that make her laugh out loud when she's listening in bed. And her husband wakes up and says, what? And I say, shh, it's just my podcast. Go back to sleep. Finally, in Ringwood, Ros in Ringwood says she is 70 today. And, happy birthday, 70 today. And can completely understand the whole can't be bothered syndrome. As you mentioned on the phone to me earlier, CBA, no, what did you call it?
The CBA, can't be arsed syndrome.
CBA. Can't be arsed. That's it. That's what she said. She says that's very enthusiastic at the planning stage, but when it comes to the actual event, she just CBA, can't be arsed.
Yeah. Join the club. What? I think that's that, we're all like that, aren't
we're,
we?
We're
I think
so
we're the
like
CBA,
that.
The CBA gang.
We
really.
Are the CBA brigade.
Yep.
Before we leave you, we just want to send Brian our love. He's having a really tricky time at the
Absolutely.
Moment. We're thinking of you.
Yeah, very much so, Brian.
Judith, I'm looking forward to seeing you hugely tomorrow.
Get that fish pie out.
The date
I want
on
some
fish
fine.
Pie.
I want some green beans with it, please. At the
I'm
very
not going
least,
to the
possibly
shops,
peas.
Judith. I'm not going to. I've got peas in the freezer. I'm not going to the shops today. CBA can't be asked.
I shall look for some mince pies, and you're not having any.
Yeah,
no, it'd be good
any.
To see you.
I don't want any. I'm going to buy myself some port. All right then, you see you
nice
tomorrow.
To talk to you.
And Daisy,
yep.
Lovely to see you last week, and you did look incredibly pretty, actually shockingly pretty.
Damn she, blast. She's a good looking
yeah,
girl,
she
isn't she?
She's lovely. Yeah. Prime of her life.
All right,
anyway.
Ryan.
We will love you and leave you and speak again next week. We might have the jingle bells next week, yeah? We might.
Shall we?
Yeah, why not, eh? 'Tis the time and all that. No. Night. I'm very tired now. Might go for a little nap. Love you and leave you.
Toodle
Take
bit.
Care, everybody.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.